Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, hello? Uh-oh. Hello? I think I'm not hearing myself in the monitor. One second. What happened? Something is off with my... Let's see. There we go. So sorry about that. Welcome, one and all. It is May 20th, 2021. It's Thursday. And, well, I had a meeting and it messed it up. So now we're live again. I'm probably not going to make this a regular occurrence because I don't want to get used to doing live shows again. Because then I'll miss them when I have to go back to work. Anyway, big shout out to everybody in comm. Looks like Blink's in comm from Pharos, Otaku, Ree, and SDF. But big shout out to Blink, Stony, Ratsu, Jazmez, all the crew, Tobe, Stug. Heck yeah. We'll see if Northern Light shows up. Exiled. Hell yeah. Alright, let's get going. Anyway, like I said, we're doing this. I had a meeting, threw my schedule off, but it's fine. It's the 20th. We're just going to open up all the stories we're going to talk about in tabs and get going. And we start the way we always start.
World news.
There we go. Alright, first up, people die in less than a week. Oh yeah, by the way, there's a lot of death today. Sorry. People die in less than a week. COVID wave catches Argentina off guard. Cases have risen from a daily total of about 5,000 in early March to a record 35,000 this week amid relaxed restrictions and a low vaccination rate. It's 1 a.m., and the intensive care doctor, Vanina Edul, is trying vainly to remember the names of all the COVID patients who have died on her watch. The 47-year-old physician still remembers the first patient she saw die of COVID last year. He was 60, and we were surprised that he was young for that long ago time. Because that was young for that long ago time. We thought only old people died. How wrong we were, she says. With both the Brazilian and UK variant circulating widely in Argentina, the patients she is seeing now at the Fernandez Public Hospital in Buenos Aires are dying faster and younger. One recent victim was just 42 when he died. I'm seeing people die in less than a week. Young patients unresponsive to treatment. You administer oxygen, do all the mechanics, turn them face down, face up, but it doesn't work. Then there are other patients whose oxygenation level is not so bad, but they die anyway. A devastating second wave of COVID cases has caught Argentina off guard. With relaxed restrictions and a low vaccination rate, cases have risen from a daily total of about 5,000 in early March to a record 35,000 this week. While deaths surged, from 112 at the start of March to a record 744 on Tuesday. On Wednesday, daily contagions set a new record with just under 40,000 cases, while deaths dropped to 494. The figures put the country third in daily cases after India and Brazil, and fourth in COVID deaths after India, Brazil, and the U.S. Relative to population, Argentina now has the highest number of COVID deaths per day in the world, with 16.46 per million on Tuesday, far exceeding its giant neighbor Brazil, which saw 11.82 million. Hello. I see. It looks like Blink can't listen. Oh, we can fix that. You should use. I can't say it out loud because they cannot hear the story. I'm sure someone in comm will help out, but usually the web player for me hasn't worked in a long while, so I use mPlayer or VLC to stream. Alright, Blink's on. Alright, let's keep going. Well, we got to get all the COVID death out of the way because it's just sad. The only other one I want to mention here, Stigma and cost of wood leaves family with no choice to immerse their dead in the river. So the Ganges River is continuing to be a dumping ground for those who have died in India. And it's swollen. It's now being described as swollen with dead bodies. In the 1918, when the Great Flu pandemic swept through India and killed an estimated 18 million people, the water of the river, upon which so many lives depended, was filled with the stench of death. And so it is again. India's official death toll from the coronavirus pandemic may just be over 250,000, but experts believe the real figure to be up to 5 times higher, and the bodies that have begun washing up in India's holiest river have become haunting representation of the uncounted dead. On Wednesday, India reported another record number of deaths, 4,529, as the virus continued to spread out of the big cities and into rural areas. There is, however, no official record of the number of bodies that have been found over the past 2 weeks in the stretch of the Ganges that flows through the poor rural states of Uttar Pradesh and Bihar, or buried in shallow sandy graves along the river in Uttar Pradesh. Locals and journalists who have counted put that figure at more than 2,000. There's no way to know if all the infected with coronavirus, though the government has accepted some are COVID victims. It's widely believed that as the vicious COVID second wave has ripped through the poor rural communities of Uttar Pradesh, leaving death in its wake, stigma around the virus and high cost of firewood for cremation meant many families had instead resorted to a custom, a tradition in some villages, of immersing the shrouded bodies into the holy waters of the Ganges. Others have buried them on the sandy banks. Officially, the death and infection rates of coronavirus in Gamar are low, but Bhupendra Upadhyay, a local priest sitting beneath a banyan tree on the ghat, a flight of steps leading down to the river, said a lot of people had died in the last few weeks. So, whew, yeah, it's rough right now. It's really sad what's going on. You can read, they have a great bit longer piece about this over at The Guardian. We did our best. We did everything the doctors told us to do, but we could not save her, he said. She'd been tested and given proper treatment rather than sent home. Maybe she'd be alive. That was just one of the many sentiments left by people there. So it's really sad. But you know what? That's part of life, right? It sucks. All right, let's do that. Boop. All right, how's that, Ratsu? We'll keep on a rolling. Let's do international, not COVID death stuff. Ready?
World news.
All right, here we go. Kremlin hails positive steps in U.S. ties as Biden waives pipeline sanctions. Relations between the U.S. and Russia have taken a tentative step forward after the Kremlin welcomed a decision by the Biden administration not to impose significant sanctions on a controversial Russian pipeline delivering gas to Germany. The Kremlin spokesperson, Dmitry Peskov, on Thursday hailed what he called positive steps in ties with Washington ahead of a face-to-face summit between Biden and Putin due to take place in Europe in the next few weeks. On Wednesday, the first high-level discussions between Moscow and Washington since Biden took office were held in Reykjavik. The U.S. Secretary of State, Blinken, and his Russian counterpart, Lavrov, held their first face-to-face encounter on the sidelines of an Arctic Council meeting in the Icelandic capital, a city with a deep history in U.S.-Russian relations. So, okay. Yeah, I don't know what's up. I'll try and figure it out. I think something's up. I was playing a video game before this, and so I think it messed up my sound settings. I'm talking at calm for the recording. That's what's going on. And, of course, shout out to XMPP, a non-radio at conference.jabber.sdf.org, if you ever get into XMPP. All right. What else is going on? Well, let's see. German officer who posed as Syrian refugee is in a terror trial. Say what? A German military officer has gone on trial, accused of posing as a Syrian refugee and planning far-right terrorism attacks on politicians. Named only as Lieutenant Franco A., the officer, who is based in France, led an extraordinary double life. Registered as a refugee called David Benjamin, he was eventually caught in 2017 trying to retrieve a handgun found by a cleaner in a toilet at a Vienna airport. The soldier insists he was not an extremist and had not plotted attacks. Under German privacy rules, defendants' surnames are not made public. His defense lawyer condemned what he called a smear campaign against him, and the officer told reporters he was going to court with a clean conscience. I never planned anything to the detriment of anyone. His double life was exposed when authorities discovered the fingerprints of the soldier based in Strasbourg matched those he had used to register as a Syrian Christian asylum seeker living 3 hours' drive north near Frankfurt. Prosecutors believe he made a list of potential targets, including German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas, the Deputy Speaker of Parliament, and a Jewish activist, and was intending to use his fake Syrian identity to stage attacks and have them blamed on a refugee to provoke anti-Muslim sentiment. They cited a stockpile of ammunition and explosives he had hoarded in his parents' basement, which was later found in a friend's house. Notes and recordings are cited in which the officer is said to praise Hitler. He's also alleged to have been in a Hannibal network of survivalists that intelligence officers believe was preparing for the collapse of the German state on day X. So, very wild, right? This is so crazy. His arrest came after the 2015-2016 influx of refugees from Syria, as well as asylum seekers from other countries, but is also one of several cases linking members of the military to Germany's far right. Within weeks of the arrest, Nazi army memorabilia was found on display at the common room of his base in Ilkirch in Strasbourg, despite a ban on Nazi symbols. Last year, the defense minister said she was partially disbanding Germany's KSK, that's Kilo Sierra Kilo, commando force, because 20 members were suspected of extremism. The case originally came to trial 3 years ago, but was dismissed by a lower court in Frankfurt, finding there was not an overwhelmingly high probability that he was planning an attack. Federal prosecutors appealed, and the case has finally reached a higher court. If convicted, the officer could face up to 10 years in jail. So, very interesting indeed. The soldier says, ahead of the trial, he gave a series of interviews with international media. I want to get to the bottom of it personally and check just how far the concept of asylum has been abused by the German authorities to the detriment of security, Hill told France's Le Figaro newspaper. He describes being part of radical groups, and he explains the cache of weapons his parents' house is self-defense to protect his family in an emergency. As for the gun in the airport toilet, he explained he'd gone to an officer's ball organized by the Austrian Ministry of Defense, but went drinking with a friend and found the Nazi-era Browning Model 17 gun in a bush and put it in his coat. As he later prepared to board a flight, he said he panicked and hid it in the toilet before going back weeks later to hand it to the police. So, yeah. Very interesting indeed. We'll see if we get any updates on that one. Do want to thank you. You're listening to
Anon Radio. You're...
Oh, that was so loud. I'm sorry. My audio is all over the place. Jeepers creepers. What is going on? Dude, is there a way to adjust the volume on that? Boop. There is. All right. Let's try this.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
There we go. Was that about appropriate volume? I hope so. Oh, no. What is going on? Is it using the wrong microphone? Let's ask the computer. No. That's right. Options. I know this is great radio. Sorry, I'm just like, why is my audio so bad? Let's find out. Hardware, output, input, yep, all that checks out. Let's go over here. This is all the way up. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what it is. Let's keep on rolling. I'm hearing something. I don't know what it is. Anyway. Curses. Sidetracked. Alright, let's just keep going. It'll be fine. If somebody's knocking on the door or trying to ring my doorbell or calling my phone, I will hear it in a minute. I'll get the voicemail. Alright. Spanish aid volunteer abused online for hugging Sinhalese migrant. Luna Reyes targeted by far-right supporters after footage of gesture goes viral. The image captured the raw humanity of the moment, a Red Cross volunteer tenderly consoling a Sinhalese man moments after he stepped foot in Spain's North African enclave of of theta. I think we discussed this yesterday. Theta. Hours after the footage went viral, however, Luna Reyes set her social media accounts to private after she was targeted by a torrent of abuse from supporters of Spain's far-right Vox party and others incensed by the unprecedented arrival of 8,000 migrants in Cuenca. I can't remember how we decided about. Yeah, my laptop has COVID, that's what it is. They saw that my boyfriend was black. They wouldn't stop insulting me and saying horrible racist things to me, the 20-year-old who has been volunteering with the Red Cross since March as part of her studies told the Spanish television channel RTVE, that's Romeo Tango Victor Echo. As news spread of the abuse, the internet began fighting back. Messages hailing the hug soon began pouring in, drowning out the insults and sending the hashtag Gracias Luna trending in Spain. So, Theunta. Yeah, there we go. That sounds right. So it is wild. The world is still full of racist hate out there. But, you know, that's, you know, it's, anyway, it sucks.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Theota. All right. I'll learn how to say it whenever, and then it won't matter. Theota. Kenya's second seaport opens in Lamu. The first berth at Lamu Port on the East African coastline in Kenya received its first commercial shipping liner, marine vessel Cap Carmel, which docked at the newly built facility after setting sail from the port of Dar es Salaam in Tanzania to mark its official launch, officials said. And Africa CDC criticized destruction of vaccines in Malawi. The African Center for Disease Control and Prevention has urged countries to act rapidly in the fight against the coronavirus pandemic, though timely vaccination campaigns to avoid losses due to expiry of vaccines. Oh, I see. Yeah, so...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
All right, we got one last thing here, and then we will jump into the music. A giant iceberg has broken off from an ice shelf. A giant slab of ice, almost four times the size of New York City, has sheared off from the edge of Antarctica into the Weddell Sea, becoming the largest iceberg afloat in the world, according to the European Space Agency. The newly calved berg, designated A76, that's Alpha 76 by scientists, was spotted in recent satellite images captured by the Copernicus Sentinel-1 mission, the space agency said in a statement posted on its website, with a photo of the enormous oblong ice sheet. Its surface area spans 4,320 square kilometers, and it measures 175 kilometers long by 25 kilometers wide. So it's 106 miles long and 15 miles wide. By comparison, New York City's total area of land and water is 1,213 square kilometers, while the Spanish island of Mallorca in the Mediterranean occupies 3,640. The enormity of A76, which broke away from the Antarctica's Rhone ice shelf, ranks as the largest existing iceberg on the planet, surpassing A23A, which is about 3,380 square kilometers and is floating in the Weddell Sea. Another big Antarctic iceberg that had threatened a penguin-populated island off the southern tip of South America has since lost much of its mass and broken into pieces. So, there we go. Oh, look. Thanks, Fuentes. Oh, hey, Fuentes. It's a long time no see. Welcome. Thanks for being part of the show. Hundreds of children stranded at the enclave. Yeah. Is there a video? Yeah, it's very sad. Very sad. Spain. It's very famous. It's a sad spot here. All right. It is time for some music because, it's that time. We have to do it. It's requirement. FCC requirements. let's go ahead and do this. Where is it? Oh, I don't know if you guys like this or not, but, I don't know if you'll like it, so I won't play it. You know what I'm going to do? We're going to play Polyamorous Affair. I like them, and, Bolshevik Disco sounds a little bit better. So we're going to do. This song was used in a vodka ad campaign, and I'm going to start the volume low, that way hopefully I don't blow out anybody's ears.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Yeah, gotta get. Oh. Whoops. Oh, yeah. I want to be sure and mention that. So that was Polyamorous Affair, songs White Hot Magic, off the CD Disco, Bolshevik Disco. Welcome, everybody in comm. We got lots of cool new people or returning people. It's super neat. But, yeah, so big shout-out. Zeptar and Northern Lights, Exiled and X1 are in the house, and Fuentes. It's very cool. And Spain, it's very popular. There was a... Let's just do some domestic U.S. news real quick. Just a short one. In Florida, a girl aged 11 fought off a knife-wielding kidnapper. Surveillance footage captured the attack in West Pensacola, Florida. The girl was waiting for a school bus when a man approached with a knife and attempted to drag her into a vehicle. And another story I read said she smeared the attacker with some blue slime she had with her to help police identify him later. She said she saw it on Law & Order SVU. So, thought that was kind of neat. Joe Biden chides graduates to clap. You're really dull. Joe Biden chided the graduating class of the Coast Guard Academy for not clapping at a quote in his speech. He's not the first president to use that line. And then there's a clip of it, but you don't need to see it. But I just thought it was funny that Joe Biden was chiding people and telling people that they should clap. And it's like, made me think of the presidential campaign a few years ago when, Jeb Bush went and he did a speech at a campaign rally and he said something and then he stopped and he was like, please clap. And everybody, it was a great big meme for a little while. All right. So let's talk about some little heavier real stories. This is coming to us from The Guardian and is about the state of Oregon. A lot of pilks in SDF land know the Pacific Northwest. Well, five rural Oregon counties voted Tuesday in favor of considering a permanent move to Idaho in efforts to join a more conservative political environment. Voters in Malheur, Sherman, Grant, Baker, and Lake counties passed a measure that would require county officials to promote and discuss moving the Idaho border west and incorporating their populations. The counties would join Union and Jefferson counties in Idaho. The predominant industries in the counties that voted to join Idaho are timber, mining, trucking, and farming. The measure might capture local sentiment, but actually moving the border would require much wider support, including the approval of both Oregon and Idaho state legislatures. It would also require approval from Congress. The efforts were led by the grassroots group Move Oregon's Border for a Greater Idaho, which believes adding conservative counties to Idaho would benefit the state. The group cites Oregon's lack of rural representation in the legislature, the state's 2020 drug decriminalization law, and the state's tax rate as the reason to move out of the state. So, I just found this to be very interesting because it's like, we want to move. We don't want to actually physically move. We just want to move the border. The grassroots organization also strives to grow Idaho west and south into counties in Northern California. So, seems a little silly, but, after talking about so much death, needed to include something a little less serious. And keeping on that track, oh man, talk about...
Resistance is futile.
I've seen the saucers. Obama weighs in as U.S. interest in UFOs rise. For some time, expressing interest in unidentified flying objects or UFOs has been deemed mostly unacceptable in wider society. But attitudes appear to be changing in America this week, with luminaries from Barack Obama to the former NBA star Shaquille O'Neal sharing their thoughts. Obama was asked about the issue of UFOs during an interview on Tuesday, the former president confirming footage and records of unidentified objects exist. Much of the newfound and newly sincere interest in UFOs this week appears to stem from a report on CBS's 60 Minutes on Sunday, which tackled the U.S. government's grudgingly acknowledgement of UFOs, with the Defense Department and intelligence agencies due to deliver a much-anticipated official report on the mysterious aerial sightings next month. 60 Minutes interviewed a number of credible witnesses, including a former Navy pilot who said he'd seen unidentified aerial phenomena, the government's preferred term, every day for at least a couple of years. So, so that's pretty wild, right? What is true, and I'm actually being serious here, is that there's footage and records of objects in the skies that we don't know exactly what they are, We can't explain how they move, their trajectory. They do not have an easily explainable pattern, and so you think, you know, I think that people still take seriously trying to investigate and figure out what that is, but I have nothing to report to you today. So, Tucker Carlson took that to mean that, Tucker Carlson also agrees in this, whose most recent work has seen him dabble in anti-vax conspiracies, also saw the 60 Minutes report and played a clip on his show. UFOs, it seems, are pretty much the only thing Obama and Carlson agree on. Carlson agree on. So, wow! It's wild! This is so cool, right? So, yeah. Very, very strange times indeed. Oh, my gosh. We've only got a couple minutes before the Dubious Goals Kinnega Tobe kicks off. So, let's just run through the last couple ones here. In sad news, the governor of Texas has signed a law banning abortion from as early as 6 weeks before most women even know they're pregnant. Governor Greg Abbott signed the legislation at a ceremony on Wednesday. It bans abortion after the detection of what anti-abortion campaigners call a fetal heartbeat, something medical authorities say is misleading. The law is also unique in giving any individual the right to sue doctors who perform the procedure past this point. So you don't even have to be related, and you can sue the doctor for doing this. Texas is the latest and largest U.S. state to pass abortion restrictions. So we'll be covering that when people are dying from that law soon. Bernie Sanders introduced legislation to block U.S. arms sales to Israel. The United States senator and former presidential candidate has introduced a resolution to block a $735 million arms sale to Israel. Oh, man, we're out of time, guys. Talk to you tomorrow.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Oh no! I may have ended the show prematurely! Let's query Cronus. Cronus, tell me the time. Okay, time for the Dubious Goals Committee. Happening in just a few moments. 9, 2,
7.